All right, we're here for another episode of Smoking Section Podcast, and we're going to take a trip across the pond, even though he is living in Nashville right now. He's from Ireland. He's new to town. He is new to country music. Ladies and gentlemen, Gareth, how are you, sir?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing great. Let's just start this out there, because how does a guy from Ireland get into country music and end up singing country music?
Well, my original, so Ireland's like very big for country music as well. A lot of ones don't like actually realize that, but Ireland's got a very big country music fan base and culture around it. But I literally, my grandparents had me growing up with like records and vinyls of like the older greats of country, such as like George Jones and Hank Williams and all those kind of guys. And so that kind of started my love for it at a young age. And I just sort of went from there, and I took it upon myself to like find the newer generations then, because unfortunately my grandparents have not discovered the newer generations yet. They're not that kind of people, but they're still stuck back in the 60s. But I've been a country music fan all my life, so I wouldn't change it for anything.
I mean, listen, the 60s had some good music, so I understand why you stuck back in the 60s. It was great. The music
Oh
was
yeah, I mean, I love all the eras of country music, all the decades. So I do.
So what was the turning point for you?
I think a turning point for me, do you mean in terms of like this career?
Yeah. And to like deciding that you're wanting to become, if you're going to become a country artist.
Yeah, I mean, I said before I've been doing country for years, but I didn't picture myself doing it as a career. Well, not that I didn't picture myself doing it as a career, but I didn't think I would make it as a career, if you get me. But I recorded a cover of Six Seasons, which is a sorry, that's a folk song, but I recorded that cover in my bedroom just over a year and a half ago, just a few days after Christmas. And I recorded it all by myself in my room. It took me a few hours, and I teased it online. Literally didn't think one thing off it. And just overnight, it went crazy viral. And then I met my manager, Chris Rudiger. And then things went from there. Started writing songs in March last year, and I started to realize only recently that I can make this my career, my life. So the past year and a half since that cover has been crazy. And it's been amazing ever since.
Yeah, I'm noticing you've been on tour. You've opened up for a lot of people across the pond. You opened for a lot of people here. Who's your favorite person you opened up for?
Well, I think so far, in terms of just everyone, obviously everyone I've opened before has been great and accommodating. But we just come off tour there literally a week and a half ago, with an artist, Kip Moore. We done dates in Europe and UK without it just finished off in Manchester, UK, just over a week and a half ago. And him and his team were like, one of the nicest teams that I've come across so far. And they were just a joy to work with. And we done a very good run with them, and we actually played some like really big venues, and some of those venues were also arenas. So that was probably the biggest tour that I've been on so far, and probably the best one till date.
It's crazy because it's like it's one of those where it's like you don't realize how big Kip Moore is until you see him perform
Yeah, I mean it's bonkers.
in other countries. Fans are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like there was some of the show. I mean, I think we done like I don't know the exact count, but I think it was like somewhere around 15 plus shows we done with Kip, and there was like the few people that was like there every single show, front row every time, and it was crazy because it's like just imagine how much money that is. It's like how rich are you to go to like all these cities, and I mean, geez, I can barely do it. It's crazy.
So how is it that I'm trying I'm still wrapping my head around this whole Irish, how is the Irish lifestyle compared to the country lifestyle that's here in Nashville? Like so what's like how do you compare those two?
Like the music wise,
Music wise, lifestyle wise,
well, the
how
music,
do you do?
the Irish country scene is a lot different sonically wise. Like just the music's a lot different. It's like if I played you an Irish country song compared to like a typical American country song, you'd know the differences straight away. Just a lot different instruments, just a lot different vibes and rhythms. But in terms of lifestyle, I mean, the scene in Ireland is obviously a lot smaller just because of the country itself. It's like, I mean, our population compared to the States is nothing. Lifestyle, I've noticed obviously from being from both, you know, being there both times, and obviously I lived in Ireland and then moving to Nashville and experiencing that culture change in lifestyle. There is some similarities, but I think over here it's a lot bigger. Obviously driving on the different side of the road, you know, six hour time difference. A few things. Obviously the weather's a lot warmer. I enjoy obviously Ireland as much as I do through Nashville. So I love always going back there. Always my family's there as well. So
right.
That's a big thing for me. So every time that I get the opportunity to go back, I will. I moved to Nashville in January of this year, and I've been across the pond probably more than I've been in Nashville just because of shows.
Right.
We started in March playing a festival called Country to Country. And then my headline tour was in April, so I stayed back home for a few weeks to chill with family. And then the Kip's tour was then after my tour had just ended. So I just recently got back a few days. I'm finally here for a few months, so it's good. But also my family is coming out. I have my mom and dad and my sister coming out on July 3rd, so before the 4th of July. So they're going to be here for 2 weeks, so it's good.
What's been your favorite things to do in Nashville? I mean, you've only been, you technically, like you say, you've only been here for a few days, pretty much. But like so far in the few days, what have you liked so much? Because clearly we like to drink over here.
Yeah,
and I have some Irish friends. They like to drink too. So is that? It's
to be fair, I'm not like. People don't believe it. Especially when I tell Americans this, because it's sort of stereotype of Irish, but it's like, I don't drink that much. I just don't feel like I have to or need to. It's just like, it doesn't do much for me. I mean, there will be the odd occasion where I'll just go out and I'll drink, but I'll not get like really drunk or nothing or anything like that. But since I've been here, I like the freedom of just like having my own. It's because like obviously for the first 24 years of my life, I'm 25 right now, but the first 24 years of my life, I was like never left my parents' house, and you know, I was kind of always mummied. So I was, but just being over here and like having to do my own laundry and like have my own car and space, and like it's also really fun just to have my own like life over here.
Right.
But I also like, well, obviously the food spots, like, you know, I'm a big food guy, so a lot of the food spots that I enjoy, and I just like doing my bit independent over here.
What's been your favorite food spot?
Oh God, there's so many.
there's a lot to choose from.
I'm a really big fan of barbecue, like Edley's barbecue.
Oh, yes.
I've had Martin's. To compare Martin's and Edley's, I think Edley's is better.
Yeah.
But I also like Raising Cane's, mostly because of the sauce. But
I think that's pretty much why a lot of people like Little Right.
Yeah. Things. Yeah. So I think those two stand out to me the most.
Okay. All right. So when you started pursuing this country music career, were you afraid? Like, was there any fear or was there any like doubt in you?
I think there's all, you know, as artists, I think most artists can say the same thing, but I think there's always doubt. So there is, I mean, even when you get to a point of your career where you think you're safe, it's not really. You're always wanting to be better. And I always go on with the mindset that this could, you know, fall apart tomorrow. So I just always try and be like, try and get better at what I do. But especially moving across the world was a very like big thing for me. Not just because of family, but just like, what if this all fails and I've like moved over here and it's like a waste of time and stuff. But So far, everything's been going exactly how I've wanted it to go. And all I can hope for is I get to do this for many, many more years. So,
I mean, I think you will. I think you will. I think that people are going to gravitate to your music also because of your accent, your Irish accent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think people are going to gravitate to you. How does people reacted to hearing your country music with the Irish accent? Because I know how people reacted with Keith Urban. You
Yeah.
can't tell Keith Urban from Australia.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like people don't think that I'm Irish. Well, some people have actually, and that's people have heard me speak before and know a lot about me. If I first speak to people, they'll assume I thought you were American when I first speak to them. So I get that a lot. But I feel like someone told me it's like you've grown up your whole life and you listen to a lot of American country music. So it's like you kind of listen to their accent, their kind of accent, and you just kind of develop that naturally when you sing. But also, if I was to sing my songs in an Irish accent, it would probably sound terrible. So it would. But yeah, it's just something that happens naturally, and it's one of those things you don't really realize you're doing it until you did. So it's like,
You didn't even have anyone to teach you, like how actors have pronunciation teachers to teach them, you teach them how to do an English accent or another. You
no,
had that kind of teaching.
you know, I've gotten vocal lessons, but that's the vocal lessons didn't entail like what accent. It was just like, but yeah, it's just kind of something that happens naturally. And like, there's a lot of singers that are from the UK and Ireland that sing, and most probably a good 90%+ of them don't sound like they're from where they're from. So,
That's true. That is true. So, do you have a backup plan?
no. My life has been music since I was a kid. Like I played in bars for 10 years. Since I was 14, I played.
You're able to play in bars at 14 years old over there?
Yeah, so it's not like a big deal over there, like compared to like some of the states. But the drinking age is also 18 in UK and Ireland. Well, just in Europe in general. But I've been in bars for 14 years, or sorry, 10 years. I know when I was 14 up until literally January last year, until the Styx season cover went crazy for me. Like I my before like that video went viral, my plan was to just keep singing in bars because that's the way I made money. And basically that was my only income at that time. So I kind of just only had the bars to rely on. But ever since that, I've been just doing these tours and it's been crazy.
Wow. What's the lesson so far that you've learned? Like when you went on tour with Kip Moore, I'm sure you got a chance to sit down with him and pick his brain. What's a lesson or an advice that he's giving you, piece of advice he's giving you in starting out?
I think he gave me a good few pointers of advice because obviously he's been going for so many years. And I think one of the ones that stuck by me was, I can't remember now because it's been my memory's a goldfish. I think a memory of a goldfish, but there was one thing he told me about like making sure you don't always, like, I know I was support act from him, so that was funny, but he says that don't always rely on supporting someone else. You want to make sure you make a name for yourself. Like, you gotta make sure you keep doing your own headline shows as well and getting your own like tickets sold. So that was like something where I already knew that that was the thing that I wanted to do anyway, was like have my own shows and not just always be a support act. But I think hearing that from him kind of made it even more meaning behind it, because he knows obviously what he's chatting about because he has been going for that length of time.
So let's talk about your song Answered Prayer. What was the inspiration behind Answered Prayer?
That one originally wasn't like my idea or nothing. So I wrote that one with a guy called Zach Croyle, Blake Prendergast, and another writer that wasn't there on the day, Hunter Phelps. And I walked in and we were just thinking of songs to like write about. And Zach also produces a lot of Jelly Roll stuff. And when we got on there, he was just like, we have this chorus that was wrote, and it was like AI'd to Jelly Roll's voice to pitch it to Jelly. And Jelly loved the song, but it was sitting there for such a long time that they decided we'll finish the song and we'll see how it sounds. So the song was originally for Jelly Roll, and that was the idea when it first was wrote, the chorus. So we just literally finished it off, and I laid my vocals down on a demo, and we got the demo back, and me and my team listened to it, and we thought the song was amazing, and we thought we would take this song and we would release it. And we dropped that one, I think it was in March. So it was, so literally what was originally meant to be a Jelly Roll song is now a Gareth song.
Yeah, Gareth song.
Yeah.
I mean, which is not bad. I mean, I have a friend who has a song that he released that was originally supposed to be a Luke Holmes song, and now it's a top 10 hit for him, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny how the songwriting stuff works and what songs are supposed to be for other artists that aren't. It's just like,
yeah.
As if.
Yeah. So you released your EP, Still Your Thunder.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite song off that album, man? Off that EP? Because I love that EP.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. In terms of playing the songs live, my favorite song to play live right now is probably Still Your Thunder or Last Thing I Do. But if we're just taking a listen back to the songs, just like chilling, I think like the song that means the most to me is probably Quiet in This House. So it is. That one's obviously about a phone call between me and Mum and about me moving across the world and just stuff like that. So I think in terms of like, you know, having a strong meaning behind it, and the one that has to be probably the hardest would be that one.
So we're gonna foul pull on that, because it sounds like, and this is not in a bad way, so I don't want to take anyone to listen to this in a bad way, but like, you're a mama's boy. It's what, yeah. Mom is your backbone. Mom is your foundation.
Yeah.
You know, my mom is the same way. So that's you know, I can relate to that. So what? How was the without the music, without the lyrics? How was the conversation of telling your mom, "Hey, Mom, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, to do country music."
Yeah, but she always knew.
Did she like freak out and be like, "You're crazy"?
No, she didn't say that, because Naki, no, she the thing is though, like my mom and dad were always been behind me since the very start. From the first time I ever played a bar, 10 years or yeah, well, 11 years ago now, the first time that I played a bar, they were always behind me. But mom always knew. So when that cover I blew up, and I met my manager, and then I came in April to write songs here for the first time, and I was back and forth. And mom always knew that I told her that it was a possibility that I would move here. Like I was always talked about last year. Mm-hmm. She always it was dreading it was going to happen, but her own words was that I'm going to miss you so much, but I know I would never hold you back because it's your career. Mm-hmm. So she was never mad, or she was never like. Like, don't go. Like, that wasn't what she was. She was always like saying, you have to go there and live like your dream. So it was kind of like a hard one for her, but she kind of had to let me go and do what I have to do. But I mean, I also, the good thing is that I do see her a lot. Obviously, I just came back a week and a half ago. Right. I came back 3 days ago. And before that, I spent the last week back home with them. And as I said before, they're coming over on July 3rd for 2 weeks. So they are mom and dad and my sister, so I get to see them a lot, which is good. And I'm back in August for my brother's wedding in September, so you know, I definitely get to see them a lot. But the good thing is, with me moving here, sorry,
there's no real chance for separation anxiety.
No, like, I mean, we're always the longest I've probably been away so far without seeing her has been like a month and a half, so it has it's been about 6 weeks for the longest I haven't seen her. But the good thing is that about me living here, that they also get to come over more and see me.
Right.
And because obviously they also love coming over here to Nashville. So they'll be back here probably, I would assume they'll be back again one more time this year again before the year's over. So they're excited.
That's family love for you. That's family love for you, you know. One more question before we end this episode. What's the wildest gig you've played?
I think the wildest one so far has probably been, so on the Cape Run, we got to play my first ever arena.
Yeah.
And that's been a goal of mine for a long time. And we got on the Cape show, out of about 15 shows, there was two arenas, and it just happened to be that one of the arenas was in Ireland. So it was...
Wow.
So I think I had like 15 family members there. So I did, and obviously a lot of just home country support. that knew me. So I think that was the wildest one and the best show that I've played so far in my life, just because it's an arena and it was my own country. So that's been a memorable one. And that was only 2.5 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago that
So
happened.
was it, so did you have it where did you have the moment where people were singing back your songs?
Yeah, I mean, that happened a lot, especially in the Belfast one, just because
Right.
obviously I'm from that area.
Right.
So that was a special one. And we got, I think we got like a 40-minute set. So we had a perfect time to show everyone else too that didn't know who I was. So
Wow.
it was definitely one of the funnest ones that I've had so far.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. That sounds great. So we're going to catch more of this episode. More. We're going to do the two part here. We're going to catch more with Gareth on your next episode. See you later.